Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And we are thrilled to be here at ANZ Stadium, just an hour out from kickoff. South Sydney taking on Manly in the Canterbury Cup, 24 points to 14. Blacktown lead South Sydney. The Rabbitohs have just gone in to score, though. 20 minutes remaining in that game. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. And as we've been harping on about in the last 2 hours, a terrific State of Origin and just an amazing finish to that game of rugby league. A man who couldn't have been happier. He wasn't like Freddie Fittler. I'm not sure whether he ran onto the field just before full time, but assistant coach Greg Alexander was pumped and he joins us now. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks, Tane. Yeah, no, look, if I had been on the sideline, I think I would have run onto the field. I would have been with Freddie, so, but I was up in the box.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? What I watched on the telly, it's interesting. I want to take you to take us into that dressing room post game. And look, and don't give too much away. But
please do.
But it was. I was watching, and at one point, you were addressing the group. After going through something like that, now you've been there a couple of years, and last year I remember you gave an emotional address to the players before State of Origin, might have been on Sydney Harbour. What was it for you? Because what did it mean, and what was your message?
Well, it meant everything. I don't think it's hard to explain just how invested you get in a group of players in that position, and only because it's you know, relatively new to me, you know, to be that close to a team for so long. And I was saying to Freddie Gutter, I don't know how you stand on the sideline and stay on the sideline, because I'm sure. And I started when the first series got underway, I was in the box more like Wayne Bennett, but by the end of the game on Wednesday night, I was more like Craig Bellamy. and I said to Freddie, I said, seriously, like when Ethan Lay charged down Jimmy's kick, if I'd have been on the sideline, I might have gone out and tackled Ethan Lay. That's how I felt. Now, when we got into the sheds after the game, we're waiting for Freddie for quite some time, and the players were sitting around, all the families and their friends were in the dressing room. So I just thought, well, someone's got to say something. We can't sit here for, you know, more than 15 minutes and wait for Freddie. So I just told them just how special, you know, the series has been last couple of years. You know, watching them form a bond very quickly, even though, you know, there's been new players coming into the side over the last 2 years, and just how much strength they place in each other, and that gets them through the game. I've said this plenty of times. Origin's about moments of brilliance, but 99% of it's about effort. And the players come into a game under enormous pressure, so they do rely on each other to get through that game. And you know, that goes down as one of the great finishes in Origin, and it'll be part of Origin folklore for many, many years. And you don't get those sort of opportunities often in your career, but they grabbed that one. So basically that's what I said, and how proud I was of them.
Hey, Brandy, congratulations, mate. I thought you guys did an outstanding job through the whole campaign. Can I just ask you this? You've been fortunate enough to be involved in, you know, test wins, origin wins, premiership winning captain. You've been, you know, obviously a lot of team environments around a lot of team success there. But I've never seen you show the same emotion that I've seen you in the last couple of years, being obviously with the chief senior advisor there with Freddie. Have you got a different perspective on, you know, what it means to be in a successful organisation, more so now that you've had kids and you're in a different stage of your life than you did back then?
Yeah, probably good. Look, and you know, as a player, you just get on and do with, you know, you don't... You think about things, but it's just focused on what you need to do on the football field. Whereas now when you know, in the position that I've been in the last couple of years with Origin, there's a lot more to it that it's with you all the time. Like when you're a player, you seem to just focus what you need to do in those 80 minutes and your job. Whereas when you're involved at a different level and, you know, you're part of the coaching staff, it's with you all the time. And Origin's become, you know, I know Origin has always been big, but it just seems to continue to grow. And That's all you hear through that 6 week period is, you know, what's happening with the team? How did you, you know, there's every question that is spoken about, every comment made through that 6 weeks is regarding Origin. Club yep. footy does suffer, but I think it's the build up and the, and I think I feel pressure more in the position I'm in now than I did as a player. Because you, as I said, you're very tunnel vision and you just focus on those 80 minutes that you need to put in when you play. But yeah, there's no doubt I've got a, you know, a different perspective, and you know, it was great. I had, you know, my four boys were there, and so it's, yeah, it's a completely different feeling. But the thing I take out of Origin is that bond that's formed between the players, the coaches, and each other, and just knowing what you have to go through in those 80 minutes and what they have to do to get themselves ready for a game like that. You just, you know, it's remarkable. I've got nothing but praise for what the players put themselves through, and I do look at it through different eyes now.
Hey, Brandy, you talk about, you know, the players that you've brought in and that you've picked, and obviously we have our opinions, and mate, some people say, you know, Freddie and yourself got lucky here and there, but mate, I watched that game the other night. We called that game, it was unbelievable. But even a guy like Blake Ferguson, we got to interview him, the play at the end was unbelievable. I'm not sure if Blake would have made that play a couple of years ago, but I think there's a newfound respect for being in the team. But even post-match, I think it was MG goes, "Oh, mate, you're going to have a drink tonight." And Fergo just said, "No, mate, I'm just so happy for the team." That's for me, that's a change in culture and a change in personality.
Yeah. Look, I didn't know Fergo. I watched him play, of course, and commented on what he's done through his career. And I wasn't sure in terms of the person that Fergo was. I just didn't know him. But I honestly was so impressed with Blake through the, you know, through the both games.
Yep.
He's an incredible athlete. Like, you know, anyone that's over 100 kilos dealt that can flip themselves up in the air and land on their feet. he's an extraordinary athlete. No, he showed that in that run down the sideline, didn't he? Because originally in the game, I thought, I wasn't sure who came across in cover.
Corey Norman?
It was Corey Norman, which I've since learnt after watching it again. But on the night, I thought he must have got ankle tapped. But after watching the replay, Corey Norman got a good piece of him and should have made the tackle. He actually got his shoulder in there. Now, how Fergo stayed on his feet and stayed and regained his balance to throw that pass, well, that just shows what an extraordinary athlete he is. But you're right, his mindset, and I was with him. I loved him in camp. He was such a good bloke and so professional, which I wasn't sure what to expect with Fergo because of what's been written about him. And you do get a perception about someone, which is terrible, that you don't know, but you read so much about him. And he was just so good in camp. And him and Fox formed a great, you know, they were fantastic in camp through the couple of series. But yeah, I loved his change in attitude. Didn't drink after the win, just took himself off, you know, sort of early in the morning. But it was a real privilege to be with Fergo.
Hey, Brandy, I know instead of someone presenting the jerseys, all of the boys, I think the day before, got up and spoke about what wearing the jersey meant to them. And I heard that a few of them even mentioned they wanted to do it for Piercy. Now, I know it's a team sport, and you never play for one individual, but was it extra special for you knowing what Mitchell Pearce had gone through in those years of not having success to be able to see him finally be part of a series win?
Yeah, it was, Emma, and it certainly was. And a couple of the players did speak about that. You know, a couple of the guys that had been involved in series with Mitchell, you know, and knew more about the, you know, the press that Mitchell had copped, you know, in his 18 games, and they weren't all losing games. But it was funny, I didn't look at Mitchell, I didn't have that feeling about Mitch, even though that a lot was written in the press. I just once he got into camp on the Wednesday night, he knew everything that he needed to do by the Thursday morning. By the time we got on the field for our first big training run the Thursday before, Mitchell knew everything. He knew exactly how He needed to play. He knew all the calls. And I didn't look at Mitchell as the redemption story. I just felt so much confidence with Mitchell that he was going to do the job for us. But it was special. You know, at the end of the game, when there was a lot made of Mitchell and certainly deserved to be, that, you know, he's had such a tough time and been blamed for a lot of things that went wrong with New South Wales in previous series. So it was special. But just the smart, you know, footballer in him, and I knew how tough, you know, I knew that he was an Origin-type player because of how tough he is and what a great defender he is. But it was seamless when he fitted into the team with Jimmy. And, it was a great moment for him and his family. I was with, you know, Junior and Terry, his mum, were back at the celebrations. And I was really happy for them too, because, you know, pretty hard for a parent to watch your son criticised as much as Mitchell's been. So they got to lap it up too, which was fantastic.
And Brandy, pre-game, what was the 10-kilometre walk like from the Centre of Excellence through the formerly disused tunnels and coming out onto the ANZ Stadium?
It took a little organising to make sure that we hit the field at the right time, and there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of pressure from the broadcasters to make sure that we got them on the field, and nothing was amiss, but no, I thought it worked well. The tunnel was a good idea. Thank God we won, otherwise the tunnel would have been the worst.
Hey, Brandy, is it fair to say that when Freddie asked you to do this a couple of years ago, you had no idea what you were in for?
Yeah, that's true, Gerd, absolutely. You know, not being in the Origin Arena for so long, it was, I just thought, yeah, it, look, sounds like a great gig. Now you get to mix with the best players in the game, and probably forgot about the scrutiny that you come under during an Origin series, but it's been great.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, just quickly, for our listeners out there, they don't understand sort of what goes into not just your Origin setup, but you've got to be like the 18s, the 20s, the women's stuff. You're across all that too, aren't you guys?
Look, Bedsy and Freddie are probably more across the young blokes than I am, like, because they've been part of the pathway for a number of years now. But yeah, look, it's there's more than just the one team running around, and you know, we were with Ogre and Mark O'Mealy, and the coaching staff. Bobcat Ryan was there. Mark Hughes was part of the under-20s setup. So, you know, we got invested in the 20s, that they trained with us the day before and the day before that. So. And we hung around the coaches, or the coach, both coaching staffs, sort of knocked around for those last few days before the game. And so, it's a big family. These 20s players will be looking to graduate to the NRL and hopefully playing State of Origin one day. And the 18s were the same when they played up at Suncorp. So it's more than one team, Del, that's for sure.
All right, Greg Alexander, once again, congratulations. Are you calling anything Fox League today?
Mate, I'm on holidays. I've come to Lawrence to watch one of my boys play.
Well deserved, mate.
Touch.
Oh, good touch. On you, mate. Yep.
And thanks for your time too, Brandy, throughout the whole series, mate. We really appreciate
it. You and Freddie have been great, mate.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Thanks, and Emma.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Greg Alexander, one of the greats.
Bedsy was great too, Del. I don't know why you left him out.
Oh, because, yeah, I don't know.
What is it? You don't like Danny now?
No, Bedsy's always great, yeah.
Who can have a problem with Danny Badera?
I know.
He's the best bloke in the game. Oh.
Yeah, he's on the podium there for best blokes.
Looked like South Sydney were coming back to get Blacktown in this Canterbury Cup game. 7 minutes remaining. They've scored a couple of tries on the trot. Had a kick to level the scores. That's still 24, though, the Blacktown Sea Eagles over the Rabbitohs. 22, as I said, 7 minutes remaining in that game. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL. We're doing it from ANZ Stadium, just over half an hour to kick off the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Sea Eagles. Just 4 minutes to go, Canterbury Cup, and it is the Rabbitohs 22 trailing the Sea Eagles by 2 points. And that Tyre Power scoreboard, a look at that. The Bulldogs, 20 points to 14 over the Knights in Newcastle. Nathan Brown, not a happy coach after the effort from the Knights. The Bulldogs pull themselves off the bottom of the table. What do we make of this? Some controversy over the bunker, Em. What was the story there?
So it was with Remus Smith, with his try. They sent it up, no try, to the bunker. And then there was a bit of confusion because the bunker said... agree with the on-field decision, we're going to go a try. And then it came up a try. And then the commentators are saying, hold on, you agree with the on-field decision. They sent it up as no try. So perhaps just got confused with what it was sent up. I think everyone agreed that in the end, at least the commentators agreed, and when the coaches were asked afterwards, that it probably was a try.
I think it was a try,
but it was just a bit of an embarrassing process how the bunker clearly didn't hear, or maybe it was just a slip of the tongue. But I think in the end, everyone wasn't too outraged, given they thought it actually was a try. Just a bit silly to say.
Yeah, because I think when Remus Smith went up, young Cogger, great cross kick, and then Remus Smith, it looked like it... When it came off him, it might have come off him and then rebounded off the Newcastle player. So they thought, that's what they thought. And then it was a really good effort for him to get the ball back in. We all know he's good in the air. And then as he went to get it down, I think his left arm got in the way. So it just looked a bit awkward the way that he got it down. But it was the right decision. But once again, Canterbury, they found something there.
The back-to-back wins for the Bulldogs.
Back-to-back wins, and then I think Newcastle were just cruising in the first half. They just didn't get out of, you know, second or third gear. They didn't need to. And then, when Gavay got sent off, and you know what? He's a serial offender, Gavay. He got 10 minutes in the bin, and then all of a sudden the Bulldogs found this... I suppose found their rhythm again. Corey Harawira-Naira, he scores a nice try there. But, mate, the good thing about, I think, the Dogs, they're not going away. At some stage, Newcastle had to plateau out at some, you know, and that's what's happened last night.
They certainly should have led Newcastle by more, didn't they, when they started. Mitchell Pearce, who, of course, backing up after State of Origin, that beautiful left-to-right pass, was it? That was just hit on the chest. Was sensational. Second half, it all kind of imploded on them a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, Nathan Brown was a little bit critical of their energy, but I thought they came out and started quite well. Had some other opportunities there to take the 2 points, but probably thought, you know, they had the confidence in an attack to come up and score some points. But the defence of the Bulldogs was outstanding last night, and they have struggled at times. But the Bulldogs are one of those sides that when they get it right, they compete with any other side in the competition, and that's what they showed last night. And I've got to say, the last couple of weeks, I was a little bit critical of Dallin Wotunis-Lesniak and the fact that he went there to play fullback, and I didn't know how that young Meany was going to handle that, because I thought he'd been really good for the Bulldogs this year. But he was the difference. Dallin and Will Hopewadi last night combined almost come up with 500 metres. So what that does just takes so much pressure off their middle, because, you know, by the time they get back there, these two guys are bringing the ball out of their own end, doing all the hard work, and it just allows guys like Josh Jackson, Harawira-Naira, and Napa and Tolman, who went off injured last night, just gives them a little bit more energy, which they can put into other areas of their game. And he was outstanding last night. Now, Dallin, 20-something runs and just put himself in the game and was... you know, it was so crucial to that victory. But I like watching the Bulldogs.
Yeah. They did it without Kieran Foran as well.
Yeah, they did.
Which is even more impressive.
Yeah, they did, mate. 100%. Mate, they're starting to find something in a bit of trust, and that's what Dean Pay wanted for them. But I've got to say, even for Newcastle, Connor Watson, every time he ran the ball, he looked like he was going to not just break the line, but tackle breaks. He's so strong, and he gets in between players.
And he chased down, was it Marcelo Montoya who made that break? And Connor Watson chased him down. It was an 80-metre run. They eventually went over to score. That was possibly the when they went and scored that Remus Smith one anyway. But, such a tremendous effort from Connor Watson. But good news, Brownie said that Caelan Ponga should be back next week. Yeah. So a big game for them too against the Roosters. So
yeah, well,
that's a tough run, actually, the next three or four weeks.
That's what started their run, you know. They absolutely ambushed, and that's when Luke Heery got his injury, and that's when it really started and people started to respect him, because they thought, you know what, Newcastle is starting to play to their strengths now.
We're at ANZ Stadium, Canterbury Cup game, only 20 seconds remaining. The Seagulls, the Blacktown, they should hang on here, 24 points to 22. They have the ball in hand. Well, they did, and then they've lost the ball.
They've got it still.
15 seconds to go.
Yeah. 15 seconds to go in that game, so the all the way down on the Rabbitohs try line. So you'd imagine, in fact, that's a try. We got plenty to come. Peter Sterling will join us in roughly 10 minutes. Wendell, he's, in fact, the great man, has walked into the studio just as the siren goes. So, in fact, the Sea Eagles 24 beat the Rabbitohs 22. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, and lovely to have the company of the great man himself, Peter Sterling.
Thanks, Dan.
G'day, Sterling.
Good afternoon, all listeners. I was pumped to get in here tonight because on the way down, obviously listening to you guys, and I love inspiration. The end of the Dylan Edwards interview you did, you hit him with played strong go well. I could channel in Jack Gibson. Jack Gibson. Now, I'm assuming there's a book out at some stage.
Hey, speaking of books, I'm reading a novel at the moment that you're going to mention in several times.
It's a comic strip then.
No, it's called Boy Swallows Universe. It's a very, very popular Australian novel at the moment for the past year or so. And I read, and there's Peter Sterling's name.
Yeah, what did I do wrong?
No. The main character, the kid in the book, is a huge Parramatta fan.
That's a great book.
Yeah,
I've never read it, but it's a wonderful book.
Sounds more like a men's magazine, Tony, but anyway.
Just at this very ground, I saw you after the State of Origin in pictures on camera, and you're going out and you made your way towards Mitchell Pearce and embraced him. It would look like an amazing moment. What did you say?
I was very interested listening to Greg Alexander just do the interview then, you know, and about how you get invested in it. And I was only there the 1 year in 2017, and I haven't had a lot of disappointments in my rugby league career. But I felt physically ill when we, you know, 3 minutes away from winning that series. And you become really invested, and you become sort of tight with the people that you're around in that instance. And, you know, I was gutted for everybody in 2017, but especially Mitchell. You know, like I'd seen how his origin career had transpired and the criticism that he'd copped. And look, I'm tight with... I roomed with Wayne Pearce for 3 months on a kangaroo tour. You learn a lot about people in 3 months in the one room. So, you know, became very tight with him. I've known Terry for forever and ever. And I love the family, and I was just so wrapped for him. If anyone deserved to win an Origin series, it's Mitchell. You know, it's just, and it was interesting. I wrote during the week, I was with Terry in the sheds after the game, and she said that during the day it had been a really difficult day for her and she couldn't work out why until she worked out that she was stressed by the fact that she knew that the result that night, her son was either going to be a hero or he was going to be the scapegoat.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, that's probably was going to be the case, regardless of how he played. So I was just glad that he was the hero, because he's been the other way too often.
I think that's something sometimes we forget about. I mean, it's been a bit unfair on Mitchell, the criticism he's copped, but what it does to the family as well. I think everyone sometimes forgets that these players are brothers. They could be fathers, husbands and sons as well. So how difficult it is for his mum and dad to have experienced all of that.
Yeah, it's just obviously not just him. And look, you know, again, Terry understands what rewards there are in our game. You know, it's a wonderful game and it gives you so much. But it can be unfair at other times. And, you know, at Origin level, it had been unfair for Mitchell too often. And, yeah, it impacts on, you know, everybody around him, teammates and everybody. So it was just a good news story. And pointed out on the coverage last night, you know, you talk about Mitchell Pearce and the way that he plays. He's being lauded for the pass issue, and rightly so. You know, to identify the space and then to be brave enough to throw that pass when you consider that game one, the difference between the two states was an intercept. To throw that without hesitation. But if you have a look at the end of the try, after everybody had done everything right, Tom Trbojevic passed at the right time, Fergo did a great job. Back, and it would have been an easy pass to throw forward from Blake Ferguson, but he really accentuated the fact it went back so much so that it went behind James Tedesco, which helped. But when Tedesco scores, the person inside him, if there was another pass needed, is Mitchell Pearce. Yep. So he doesn't stand back and watch. You know, he started the movement, and he put himself up there just in case there was another last pass needed. He was the next man there, and he was actually the first on the scene when James Tedesco scored. That's Mitchell Pearce. That's, to me, the way that he plays. That's why he's an Origin player. That's why you talk about the effort and the way that he competes. He's clearly the best defensive number seven we have in our game. You know, you don't even have to worry about that. So success was a long time coming for him, and I guess that's why I went out and just said that I was wrapped for him and I was proud. And that because I'd seen how difficult certainly 2017 was, and I'd imagine the other years before that.
Yeah, we've got plenty more questions we want to ask you, but first, check out the latest in there on markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Time to catch up with Roger Aldridge. G'day, Rog.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. The Bunnies, they're a little bit out of form, aren't they, against the Seagulls, where I think they've got four on the trot, the Seagulls. Where's the money headed?
Yeah, it's marginally with the Rabbitohs still. They're $1.62, Manly $2.28, but certainly not friendless. They've been a pretty good betting play
as an outsider this season, and I think the punters are well aware of that. The line is currently 3.5.
Yeah, the Broncos, Roger, were good last week against the Sharkies. Now, what do the punters think they're going to do against the Warriors?
Well, the bookies certainly think that the Broncos will get the job done, but I tend to think the market's overreacted. The punters are with them, though. $1.65, New Zealand's $2.24, the money going 2-1 in favour of Brisbane. The line on this one also 3.5.
And what about tonight in Melbourne? Big night for Cameron Smith and his Melbourne Storm side. Are people supporting the fairy tale?
They certainly are. It is absolute one-way traffic in this one. 90% of the money we've taken this match has been with Storm, even though they're at the shorts. $1.28. Cronulla, $3.60. The Lions out to 11.5 points. Melbourne taken through a stack of multis across the weekend as well. So, yeah, very much with the fairy tale. And hopefully the punters have got it right.
Roger Aldridge, as ever, thank you so much. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself, but gamble responsibly. Sterlo is with us. We're talking State of Origin goods.
Another guy that I felt for on Wednesday night, obviously, was Nathan Cleary. And I think the fact, Pete, that we saw, you know, Mitchell and James during moments of that game really struggled, you know, when New South Wales didn't have momentum. And it really emphasised to me how hard it is in that role and how reliant you are on, you know, the way that your team's going, the momentum that your team has. Do you think on the back of the performance from Mitchell and James that Nathan, who does get fairly heavily criticised for sometimes, you know, his lack of involvement or his lack of his ability to, you know, set up, you know, whether it's, yep, you know, try assists or make those big plays, unfair sometimes? Do you think he gets over-analysed?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the biggest plays I find in Origin, Gerds, are the ones people don't see. You know, Nathan Cleary and Mitchell Pearce, they tend to be involved in those kind of plays. You know, the ones that Brad Fittler and Greg Alexander sit back and say, yep, that's why we want him in the side the next game. You know, it's those little things that you see. Again, you know, just talking about Mitchell Pearce in that try at Tedesco, I've heard nobody mention the fact that he was, you know, that to me is important almost as the past, that he's, you know, he's 50 metres upfield on the back of that in the final minute of the game. You know, those little areas, and when Freddie talks about effort areas, that's what they look for. And there, Nathan Cleary is chock full of them as well. You know, it doesn't always come down to try assists and, you know, those kind of involvements. There are other ways to have a profound influence on a game that aren't necessarily, you know, stand highlights out. That glare out type thing.
How good was it as well to see when Nathan did come on the field to celebrate and to see Mitchell straight away change direction and go straight up to Nathan Cleary and get him involved in the celebrations? I thought that really spoke volumes about Mitch's character as well.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and I think it was, you know, everybody realised that he played a major role in getting them to that game and that, you know, he had every right to have that inclusive, you know, hug from everybody. It was great to see, and I agree with you, Em. You know, it would have been easy to get lost in the moment if you're Mitchell Pearce, but to actually be aware of the impact it had on other people like a Nathan Cleary, you know, it speaks of character.
So we mentioned earlier that how things turn on those small moments, and that result, which was in the balance until that last second, and people's view of how the coaches performed hinged on that, you know, and it's been so. Are you surprised that the kind of over analysis of those two gents over this past few games?
You might have to leave me out of this one, Tony. I find some of it embarrassing. Brad Fittler has done a fantastic job, and so have the people around him. They know exactly what they're doing, and just because other people get confused doesn't mean that they are wrong or off the mark or whatever. So I'm, you know, to me the result speaks for itself, and I'd rather not get any further involved in that apart to say that Brad Fittler, it's no fluke that he's now won two series in a row.
I work in the media, but I found this series in particular more than the last couple of series that I've been lucky enough to cover and go out to, but you're either the hero or the villain. Yep. And why does it have to be either one or the other? You know, just if now that Kevy lost, why does it have to be, or Kevy's job is on the line? Because if one play went differently,
yep,
everyone would be saying, oh, well, Freddie made a lot of changes. Freddie does things differently.
The thing about Origin, it's great conversation.
Yeah.
And everybody loves it. You know, we're picking teams week one of the season, you know, for Origin that starts in June. So that's the beauty of it. But, you know, it's sometimes maybe there's so much conversation and looking for different angles and all of these kind of things that you go into areas that I just sat back and shook my head, you know. And the one thing I will say, and I don't want to say anymore, Brett, there was no luck involved, you know. Brett, by saying that he was lucky in any shape or form, belies the weeks, months of planning and preparation that it takes to put together a group, get the schedule right, do all the things that you want to do externally as well. And under Brad Fittler, they've done some fantastic stuff, you know, to get the New South Wales, well, not just New South Wales, but to get people to love this team, you know, to see that they're more than just a representation of you when they run across that white line, you know, which is what we want. You know, we want to feel good about them in every area, and that's what they've achieved.
And I think the true sense of a leader is someone that, you know, when the waters get a little bit rocky, they don't change their course. And you mentioned it there before, Em, you know, where Freddie, during this time when, you know, he wasn't under, there's always pressure in Origin, but last year he won the first couple of games, so it was a totally different ride than this one. And he allowed so much access to the media and the whole state got invested in the campaign again. Yeah. And this year, when he needed to make those changes, when he felt he needed to make those changes, and when things got, you know, the seas got a little bit rocky, he didn't change his course. Nothing changed about the way he went about his business. He didn't say, right, media, you know, this session's going behind closed doors, or you can't do this, or we can't do that. No. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. We're headed in this way. Nothing's changed. And the value the playing group get out of leadership like that is unimaginable, Tony. That, to me, showed Freddie's character, the one that I've known since he was 16 years of old, the person that he is. And that's why those that knew Freddie and have been in situations with him could all sit back and really appreciate that everyone who had the intellect to actually see it and acknowledge it, got that experience with him. It was unreal. I loved it.
Brad Fittler is very honest.
Yep.
Yeah. And players love honesty. You know, they, if you're false, they see through it so quickly. You know, and the quality that I really admire of Freddie, he's oblivious to all of that external stuff. Yep. You know, he doesn't. I don't even think he reads it or not acknowledges it. He doesn't want to know about it. You know, he's just head down and doing what he does. So, you know, it's taken me a long time to become oblivious to that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
To become Switzerland and not Germany. but again, you know, you talk about moments just quickly. The Cameron Munster play to get his fingertips to that, when Cameron Murray went through and he's got Teddy on the inside and he's got Tom Tabojevic on his outside.
Amazing.
Either of them score under the post and it's 18. At that moment, I remember thinking, if Queensland somehow get out of this, that's the moment there. Yeah.
It was a call when it happened. It was like Cameron Munster, and at 20-8, it felt like a little bit of a silly thing to say. He's just kept Queensland in the game.
Yep.
And you kind of said it because you thought maybe he has.
It just never,
But that's Queensland.
It was fingertips. Like, they did a forensic investigation afterwards. They couldn't even find prints on it. It was that fine, you know. It was, but what a play. And in the end, it could have been, it ended up being a match saver for a while, and it could have been a match winner.
I've got so much more to talk to you about and so little time, but we'll get back to it in a second on Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Yes, the Manly side out in the middle of ANZ Stadium doing some warm-ups before they tackle the Rabbitohs in just over 15 minutes' time. Peter Stirling will be part of that call team. He joins us now alongside Emma Gerds. My name is Tony Squires. Did you mentioned earlier, Stirlo, that sick feeling you had a couple of years ago when the Origin slipped from the grass. Did you, when it became, when Ethan Lowe charges down... that kick. Did you have that similar sick feeling?
I think we all did. Yeah. We all got really concerned. And then when he nailed what an effort from Ethan Lowe to come into those situations.
Sterlo, not an easy moment.
He didn't miss one. And no, that's, you know,
And it didn't wobble over. Like, he struck it. It was beautifully. He hit it sweet, that kick.
With all due respect to Ethan Lowe, I wonder whether he ever thought he'd be in that position.
Yeah.
You know, but he just embraced it and nailed it. And, you know, that was... And not even just the charge down, but actually then get to the ball and get the possession of his side kind of thing. Again, that's what Origin is great, isn't it? You find out about people and...
It's really going to be interesting to see, and we'll probably get a little bit of a taste of it today, what he takes out of that back to club level. Because he's a guy that's sort of, you know, been up and down with his sort of club footy now for a couple of years since he had that sort of run with the Cowboys. And just... amazing what a performance like that in the Origin Arena can actually then do for your club form.
I'm also keen along those lines, Gerds, and last night probably not an indication of it, but for someone like a Daniel Saifiti, and especially not just being a young man, but a young front rower, but being put into that Origin experience. He didn't play many minutes, but just being around the guys and, you know, that's as to just how much that's propelled his career early on as to... You know, where he's going to end up.
Because what happens when you come back, and the game, it feels a little slow. I remember coming back, you know, after a couple of series, and sometimes even during the series, when you get back and you think, oh, how am I going to get through this? It's a couple of days after an Origin. You go out there, and it feels like the game has literally slowed down. And the benefits of that are because it has, essentially, because nothing, you know, no club games are as fast as an Origin game. So, yeah, what that can do for your confidence when you get back there, the intensity's not there, obviously the physicality's not there on a weekly basis. You just grow in stature.
And for a playmaker, sorry, Em, that, if it is, your decision-making becomes so much better as well because everything is, you have more clarity about it and you've got more time, seemingly.
How do you emotionally get up to, you know, all of the adrenaline of not just an Origin but a decider, and for the Blues winning as well, and then going back to clubland? I know you're still playing first grade, but it's far from the spectacle of an Origin decider. How do you emotionally get up for that first couple of games back?
Well, you're looking forward to getting back with your teammates, because, you know, and it's always and one thing that New South Wales have always done well in the past, and I know that Freddie and Bedsy focused on it again this year, is going back and rewarding your teammates and rewarding your club and the fans and all those things. So that's part of it that you don't have a problem with. And as I said, there's a real sense of like you're going to really enjoy it, because you kind of know that you're going to go back there, and it's a little bit of it's down in grade just that little bit. So you look forward to that.
I think it's a really valid question, Em, in regards to, you know, we talk about an Origin hangover for some teams and even some players. Because the Origin campaign is so draining, I think even more mentally than physically, possibly, that can be, you know, I'm keen to see over the next month just how teams fare. Wayne Bennett predicted that Origin would be difficult for the Rabbitohs. What, they've lost four in a row now? You know, they didn't fare well. You hear Cameron Smith talk about not playing Origin now, and you can see that it's not even reflected in his form, but mentally just how fresh he is at the moment.
Yeah. Yep.
So the next month, you know, whilst, you know, the New South Wales players, especially, you know, are buoyant and on a high to a large degree, you know, it sometimes can be difficult to go out there when you've had a really...
draining.
And a really strong period there to sort of then have to refocus to something else. And so the next month is key, because, what, we're 9 weeks from finals now, and that'll go quickly.
I just want to pick your brain on a couple of other things, Sterlo. We had Kerrod Walters on back page during the week, and the question was asked of him about Kevy. You know, did he like Kevy in the first version we saw, which is kind of slightly strange? Then there was angry Kevy, then there was emotional Kevy, and he said, "I like happy Kevy." Is Kerrod Walters going to... Wendell today said if he was offered the Titans job, he shouldn't take it. It's too painful to go there. What do you think? Is that a ship that he should jump on?
Well, NRL coaching jobs don't come up all the time, you know, and you probably can't necessarily wait for the one that you want, because in all likelihood it might not eventuate. Ever. So I'm not saying you take what you can get, but in some ways you take what you can get. I was really impressed with Kevin when he was asked early in the week about the Gold Coast job, and he said, well, look, I find it disrespectful to speak about something that's not even available, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's a to look at it that way, I'm sure in the back of his mind, you know, something's going on there. But to come out and say, no, look, I'm not going to comment on this because there's no job available there. It's disrespectful to Garth Brennan, who is in that position now. But in answer to your question, if he's keen to take an NRL job on, if you keep missing out or you don't take them on offer, eventually, you know, other names come to the fore and those jobs, you know, there's not three or four available every year, is there?
There's so many people, there's coaches like in Anthony Griffin that have coached first grade before that are waiting. There's others that are looking to get their first shot. Even someone like Flano, I'm sure, would love to come back in. So there are a lot of people waiting. So, I mean, I know Dell was very strong on that, but I don't know if you can just pick and choose.
You can't.
Yeah, if a first grade job comes up.
You might be able to pick and choose if you are an established coach who has a track record. Yeah. But if you're looking to get into your first NRL coaching job, I don't know whether, you know.
You're not going to grab the Roosters.
You're not. Probably not. Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But again, there's not a job on offer as yet. So we'll know more when that happens. But, you know, Kevin Walters, I think he's made it fairly clear in the past that he would like to be an NRL coach.
Yes, absolutely. And you'd imagine that is...
I don't know why, but...
why would he? He still wants to coach Queensland next year, though. Sterlo, you're going to do your business and commentary. Thank you so much, everybody. It's been lovely to spend some time with you. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.